time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
With classes in crisis communication, influence, and data presentation, Gonzaga University's online Master's in Communication and Leadership equips you with the tools you need to communicate clearly and encourage creativity in any industry. Concentrations in digital media, strategic communication, and global leadership allow you to customize your degree. Visit gonzaga.edu/communication and learn why a master's degree from Gonzaga can help you take your career to the next level. That's gonzaga.edu/communication.
Welcome to another episode of Chatty Broads with Becca and Jess.
Oh, I got splashed in my eye. It was awesome.
If you're not watching YouTube right now,
fuck.
We are holding our creepy dolls. And I don't know how you feel, but this is like a big stretch for me. I don't do good with the whole scary stuff when it comes to actual, like, I like horror movies. I like Hollywood Horror Nights. I like all that. But when it comes to actual hauntings, what I'm doing right now is just to make friends with the spirit right now. We're holding the dolls. And I'll be honest with you, my stomach is not settled.
Do they know?
I'm a little nervous.
Do people realize what happened?
Okay, let's get into this for a sec. Go ahead.
Last episode, Evan and I opened up a mysterious package for Plug Something that appeared at Evan's house, which is not a publicly listed address as a way to contact us.
And not an address we use for our Plug Somethings.
No. So it was very weird that it was there. And then when we opened up the package, there was like no business that was being plugged. It was like this very vague note about welcoming these dolls into our homes or some shit. And they were just like these creepy old vintage dolls.
And the dolls, and the note was like, thank you for adopting them. They're going to be a nice addition to your life.
Evan and I were not down.
So creeped out.
Evan and I were not down. And prior, in the start of the episode, Evan and I were talking about scary movies and hauntings and shit like this and like getting creepy. What would you do if we got creepy notes in the mail and like just started? It was not tight.
It was spooky already. We were just already kind of like spooked. And when we got these dolls, so if you watched the last episode, we were opening the dolls like we opened up another Plug Something. And at first I was really trying to be nice. I was trying to be like, someone sent us these dolls and it means a lot to them. So like, I'm trying to not be, I'm creeped out, but I'm also like, if you are someone who owns this business, please let us know. I'm trying to be nice, but like, I just end up caving and being like, this is terrifying. It's Why really is scary. This here? How do you know? There's no, and I think what also creeped me out too, was there wasn't like a note that said, and this is my business name even. It was just, thank you for adopting these wonderful children.
It's like, when did I choose that? That
was it. And I was just like, dude, later find out that our ladies pranked us. And that's all fun and games if these were normal dolls.
Yes. So this is the weirdest part, is the dolls are actually haunted.
If you watch their episode, you would know that they...
And
did
the
this.
Girls elected to buy haunted dolls and bring them into our lives, which I don't. It's just going to add to the list of decisions that I question. It's gonna of like, why the fuck did you guys think that buying haunted
it's going to add to the divorce proceedings one day of like, dude, I'm going to add
the
this.
Reason why is it, why are we still in therapy? Because you do dumb shit like buy haunted dolls.
Dude.
Here's it. Let me list out our assets that are, that aren't haunted. And then the ones that are, because you know, it's going to, when we, yeah, it's going to be like, well, who am I going to give the haunted fucking dolls to?
Right. Dude, Jess even took it a bit further. So I go into the room and I'm like, babe, this creepiest thing happened. And she goes, I have something to tell you. And I go, what? She goes, we did that. We did that prank. And at first I was like, oh, okay.
Thank God.
Yeah. Thank God. I was like, okay, good. We're all not going to die in our sleep tonight. Good. Then she goes, oh, and by the way, they're actually haunted. And I'm like, excuse me? She's like, yeah, we looked online and found someone with haunted dolls who's selling them. And I'm like, couldn't you just give us a doll that's a doll, like a this vintage doll? Why did it have to be haunted?
It's the perfect example of a prank conversation where you're like, wouldn't it be funny? And then you just leave it. Wouldn't it be funny?
Yeah, you leave it there. Wouldn't it be funny? And then you go, haha, let's leave.
They're playing with fire that they don't understand. They don't know who the fuck is haunting these dolls. What kind of spirit is behind this? Maybe it's chill, like Casper or Casper's uncles who are like semi-unchill, but they just want to spook you. Or it could be like Chucky.
Right. Well, and she goes, well, don't worry, because they're nice. And the lady said they're nice. And I go, first of all,
according to who? What are the acts of niceness?
Could be like pulling one over on us, being like, I'm actually trying to haunt people for real and make their life hell. And so the way I do that is I tell them they're nice.
Yep. It's a diabolical plan for sure.
Or the demon is playing nice.
Or this woman is having her entire life destroyed by these dolls. And so she's soliciting them as being really nice haunted dolls.
To get them out of here.
To get them the fuck out of her life.
How do you sell a haunted house?
Say
don't bring up the haunted shit.
Don't bring it up.
And then I buy the house. It's my dream house. Finally. And then my whole life's upside
all
down.
Every morning you wake up, all your portraits are off the wall. And the lights upstairs keep turning on when you're downstairs. And you hear weird banging noises coming from the basement.
And she goes,
you feel people in bed with you?
Yeah. And then she goes, they're nice though. And I go, okay. And she goes, well, where are they? And I go, I don't know. We left them in the dark. And she goes, don't do that. So now we're like catering to the demonic dolls to make sure they don't, if they're nice, you wouldn't be tweaked, but you don't even believe what you're saying. Exactly. So we got to be really nice to these dolls so that they're nice to us. Cause like, this is a mutual respect thing at this point. When we're dealing with the demonic forces, this is all about just like love. Like, I love you too. It's okay. But then is there a chance that they might get too attached? And then we got to go to work and we leave them here, that they show up at our work.
What if they become like guard dogs, where they become so attached that then they're like super sweet with us, but then like anyone who transgresses in like even the slightest way, they're like, and go like, and you know,
they'll haunt and hurt people that mess with us,
crash someone's car who messes with us, not like kill them, but like
wound,
causes them like really annoying, like fender bender.
Okay.
So now they have to deal with that. Siphons their gas or fucking with your car is just so annoying.
It's annoying. Yeah, they blow a head gasket.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is
they pull something on their water heater and cause their water heater to leak a whole lot.
Don't want that.
And now they have all these home maintenance issues because they said something, because they cut me in line and they were rude. And now my like haunting doll followed them home and is just fucking their shit up.
Now, did you tell the haunting doll about it?
No, mine would, I imagine like the relationship I would want to have would be like, I don't want to be so like, you know, malicious as to wish the harm on someone.
Can you
someone.
Stop petting its face? It's
I would like
me
that,
out.
That she has hair in her face. Oh, that must be it. Annoying. I would just want her to realize that I was in distress and then feel the need to make me feel better by ruining someone else's day.
Yeah, I was going to say. For me, well, did you know what Jess did then later? So then Jess goes, well, don't leave them in the dark. Like, what if they're going to be, well, you got to treat them like with love or whatever freaky shit she said. What made me scared. And then she goes, she checks in on them, does all this stuff. Dude, the next day, she puts it in my bathroom in a corner so that when I go to the bathroom, she's in there.
Mm.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Not cool.
Has Ember seen the doll yet?
I don't want
my daughter to be haunted, okay? There's got to be one of us.
Ember's already seeing, like, portals open up
That's
in her
true.
Room.
That's true. That's very true, dude. Listen.
If anything, Ember would be, like, the perfect person to
That's
give
true.
The haunted
Ember would
doll
be like,
to.
By the way, she's nice. We hang out all day. And I'm like, what?
We play Parcheesi and stuff.
So what I'm doing right now is this is like, just
she
like,
gives me fashion tips all the time.
Yeah. This is, I'm just respecting the demon. I'm respecting the demon right now. I'm definitely very nervous. I feel on edge. I have a hard time breathing a little bit right now.
So Evan
honest.
And I, if you're not watching on YouTube, Evan and I are just cradling the dolls the in demons. Our hands for this one.
Now, do you think calling it a demon like I've been doing is not cool?
What if you do it like endearingly? Okay. Like you can have pet names that would normally be offensive.
Like
but
Damien?
If you do it. No. Like
or Beelzebub?
No, like you're my little demon.
Oh, you're such
you're
a little,
my demon.
You're such a little demon.
Yeah, like when you like I call the kids rats.
Okay, cute.
Like they don't hear you, little rat.
You little rat.
You little rat, and they love it. But it's like if I was just to call someone else like
that,
a
wouldn't
rat,
be too nice.
They would not know.
So it's all about an endearing insult,
it's relationship
kind of.
Based. Right. Yeah, it's like you can call your friends offensive names, but it's with love, and right. they understand that.
I'm gonna hold on to my little demon. As long as I can.
Demon.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm feeling a tightness in my chest. And so, if it gets bad, I'm just going to set you right next to me. You don't have to worry about it, okay?
Okay.
So.
What else is there?
How was your weekend, as we normally say?
Well, we
Halloween
did
weekend.
The kids' first Halloween. The first year they were both old enough and that people were trick-or-treating.
So in the past, you just dress them up for pictures or whatever, but then no real...
We go to my parents' place up in Topanga, and there's like, you know, the people decorate like their barns and stuff.
Right.
And there's one person on the corner that had like a little like haunted house for the kids to walk through, but no one did like trick-or-treat candies or stuff because right. Topanga is not like the neighborhood for that. Mm. So the kids just get dressed up and do like a costume parade down to this like haunted house thing, and that's kind of it.
Okay.
So there was no candy or whatever. Super chill. But this year, they got to trick-or-treat for the first
that's
time.
So fun.
And they didn't really understand what was going on at first, but they quickly caught on.
Once that first piece of candy hit the pillowcase, basically, they're like, let's go.
Ruth and Frank were like, Becca was like, we're going to go to four houses. And I was like, why? Let's just tire them out. Let's just run them around the neighborhood.
Let's just go until they pass out.
Dude, I can't believe of all the things we film and take photos of, that we didn't film them trick-or-treating for the first time. Because Ruth's like realization of like,
I just go up there and they give me candy.
Yes.
That's it?
That was like explained like six or seven times. And then she was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And was like, quickly, guys, come on, guys. Like, next house.
Right.
Let's go.
Just using people.
Yeah. And Becca would be like, just one piece of candy. And right. then like the mom or whoever was giving them, would be like, oh, she can have as many as she right. wants. And then we're like, no.
Like, this is a parenting thing. Yeah.
Just one piece, you know? One house had a whole table set out with like six different bowls of candy. And the mom's concession was that Ruth can have a piece of candy from every bowl. Because she was about to just fill up.
It's like grandma style. You know, like, no, we'll spoil them and then you can deal with the repercussions
yes,
of that.
Yes, that's exactly. Yeah. But dude, Frank, trying to keep up with Ruth. It was like moments of happiness followed by like extreme desperation of him like nearly crying, trying to run to catch up with her.
And she's not old enough to
wait
like,
wait for me, Ruthie. Wait for me.
Right.
Like, you know, just like a little pirate running.
Cute.
It's the cutest. How's Ember deal with Halloween?
How do you think she handles it?
She's probably the queen of Halloween.
She just bodies it. Yeah. She's just like, move out of the way. I'm coming in. And then she's just so sweet. She just walks right up and does a whole trick or treat. And she, thank you so much. And just deesh. But she's funny. She's such an only child because she also doesn't have that like frantic fight for your, because you know, when you're not an only child, right? You got to fight for stuff. Everything's a fight. Everything's yes. like a, I got to get mine before they get theirs or else I don't get any type of thing. When you're an only child, you don't have that. So we went to there's this street by our house that's like, I like literally Googled like best street for trick-or-treating near me or whatever. And there's this like, there's like this neighborhood a couple miles away that's like really bougie. Like all the houses are huge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like super high end. And you could tell they're like generational homes too. So, cause like you could tell that everyone on the block, this is what you do. Like mm-hmm. we decorate our house and make it epic, you know? So we went to that neighborhood and we were not the only ones who knew about this. It was like Disneyland.
Yeah.
I mean, there were literally like thousands of people on the street. And so we go, you know, house to house to house, and you know, houses are over the top. So I'm like, some guy's like opening and shutting the door and scaring people. And it's like there's a band playing on the edge of the corner. Like it's over the top. So we do this whole crazy loop. We probably go to, I don't know, 50 houses. But like 6-year-old me would have been like, we got to go to 1,000 houses until I have 4 pillowcases full of candy. Like we ain't even done, you know, because like that's the fight. That's the sibling. Like I got to fight for the candy and get mine. She just kind of, we reached like the end of like a street at one point. She just goes, I'm good.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She goes, I'm good. I'm like, okay. And she's like, yeah, I don't need to have any more. It's fine. And I'm like, you're such an only child. Like you just know that like, you're not gonna have to fight for the candy and no one's gonna be stealing your candy. So like, you know that like, that's a decent amount. I think I'm good. Not necessarily needing that much anyway. So we're good. It was so funny. I was like, oh my God, you're already like 15.
Halloween, where I grew up, was like, the street you're talking about was all of Santa Monica, basically in between Montana and San Vicente.
Mm-hmm.
This huge block. It's like a 26 block area, like 6 blocks long. That entire neighborhood went balls to the wall.
Right.
And people would basically drive in from all over LA. The first year my mom did Halloween there.
Was your house a part of this?
Yeah. She said her neighbors, everyone decorated and went crazy.
And if you didn't, it's kind of like you're shunned almost.
And they had rules. Every kid gets one piece of candy. And the neighbor told my mom to buy at least 3,000 pieces of candy. And it would be like an insane zoo in the street. Like you couldn't drive.
Right.
All the streets would be closed. There'd be bands playing in people's yards.
Wow.
Like all this crazy
really
stuff.
Really fun.
Dude, nuts. There'd be all the high school kids fighting each other.
Sure.
Like that was the first like crazy fight I saw was Halloween.
Right.
I saw like Peter Pan slam a dude into a car.
You're like, what
just,
is happening?
And just like be like punching each other. And you're like, dude, what? And then when we got to be in high school, it was like Halloween was like, get wildly drunk and like throw eggs at each other over like, you know, all the kids are trick or treating, all right. The parents are out. Like it was just like a movie.
Right.
And then I took the kids out and it was like 4 houses on each block were like participating and just stuff. And me and Becca were like, bro, next year, like we
you
have to
go there.
Bring the ruckus and like be the party, the Halloween party house.
It was really cool, man. It was like, I had never seen a place like that where people are like shipping themselves into. Like I have been to neighborhoods that are nice and people kind of come from other neighborhoods to go to that neighborhood, but never been like, clearly these people drove a half hour to be here. Like it was like an event.
Well, this is what I'm realizing. Like now that I have kids, I'm like, no, we got to do the research on like what neighborhood we're going to take them to next year. Because like
we had one person come to our house.
We're
in an area where like, there's not that vibe.
I just had it built in. I was like, who wouldn't go out of their way to do Halloween?
Right.
But I was like,
yeah, you're used to that.
I want them to have that like nutso Halloween experience.
Awesome.
Dude, I want to do,
yeah.
Like, imagine if we produced like a haunted house.
Like a real deal.
Dropped
like,
fucking cash on a haunted yeah, house.
Like built
like TikTok bullshit. And just we're like, yeah, we're going to put like we have an event budget.
Right.
For
every
like,
year.
This neighborhood haunted house for the 28 kids that are going to come.
Yeah.
Just blow their fucking minds.
Dude. Well, at one point there was one house that was so over the top. I mean, I'm telling you like absurd amount of decorations. And I walk up to the woman who was like giving out the candy. And I just said like, and this is such, it's just like an old guy thing to say. And I was like, where do you keep all the decorations? Cause I was like, this is so absurd. This is an entire storage unit.
Yeah.
Just for this. And she's like, oh, it's a nightmare. And I was like, that's so funny that like you're providing so much joy. And in your head, you're like, God, this has been a nightmare.
But you have to do it.
But you have to do it.
Because when you see some little kids like experience.
Oh my God, the kids were like in heaven.
Dude, and you become that house. The expectation, the bar gets set.
Yeah.
I used to jump out of, my mom would decorate the house and we had a tree right by our front gate. And I would sit in the tree in like an all black skeleton costume and just drop out of the tree. People would freak out. It'd be like pitch black and just suddenly just silent, just drop out. Oh my gosh, dude, that was so fun.
That is
scaring
fun.
People. I want to have the ones like, I remember there was a house that had the coffin where the corpse just sat up.
Right.
Randomly. And it would
go, Rat!
Dude, because we'd be in line with kids. You'd be in like these 20, 30 person kid lines for these houses. And, sudden, and you're standing boom. There. All of a sudden, you just the shit scared out of you.
That seems to be less the case. Like, I think people have chilled out on the really scary stuff. Because like, we went to this neighborhood that was really over the top and very little scary. It was a lot of like fun. But very little like when we were growing up, it was like,
I want to traumatize
like you would
kids.
Go, you would see like,
you know, like step over like realistic looking dead bodies. Yeah, and just like mutilated carcasses. Like zombie nod.
Because I remember when I grew up in Long Beach, there were houses that were like literally like you like all black. And it just said, do not enter, you know, trying to like, but you would go up and there'd be like people in the trees and like people on the porch that were like dead. But then, like, you'd get near them and they'd be like, yeah! And they'd try to grab yes! your ankle and shit. And I remember just being terrified. And yes. People don't seem to do that anymore.
That's what I want to be like, doing. I want to have, like, a real party and, right. like, have everyone in the party, like, take rotating turns participating in, like, the haunted house. It's like,
okay, broads, quick pause from the bros. So, listen, I have to tell you about our favorite wellness product, and that's Seed. And look, you all know that we don't say things like our favorite product lightly, especially when it comes to health and wellness. We wouldn't say it unless we really meant it. But when it comes to Seed, it just doesn't get any better. I literally cannot go a day without it. I am fully hooked.
I'm in the same boat. I'm just going to say we have tried a lot of gut health products and nothing compares to Seed's broad spectrum 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic. When you take Seed, you're going to be supporting, of course, your gut health, but the benefits go so far beyond that. You're going to see reduction in things like bloating, supporting better skin health, promoting a healthy immune system. Overall, your body's just going to feel good.
In comparison to other gut health products on the market, you're going to see a much bigger difference with Seed, and that's because they've created a completely unique capsule-in-capsule technology, which allows for all 24 strains of specially formulated prebiotics and probiotics to safely make it through digestion and into your colon so they can actually take effect. I'm telling you, broads, I have seen such a big difference since I've made Seed a part of my morning routine.
Start a new healthy habit today and visit seed.com/chatty and use code chatty to redeem 20% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. That's seed.com/chatty. Use code chatty. 20% off your first month.
Have you heard of some of the alternative haunted houses out there?
What the hell is an alternative haunted house?
I just made up the name for it. Okay. I don't know what they're called. But there are haunted houses out there that are volunteer based, so it's just people who are like obsessed with horror, mm-hmm. and they spend like months building them. So like, mm-hmm. they'll take a house, someone's house, who volunteers it, and they spend like months like building it out, and they'll make it for like adults. So it's not meant for kids and fun and trick or treating. It's literally for adults, and it's like you have to walk it alone, and it's like terrifying. And people are allowed to touch you, and like you're like, I'm willing to do this, and they will like take you. Abduct you. It's a part of the experience. Like, I want to go through. I want to be terrified. I want to like put freezing cold water on you. Like, literally, it's like a extremely immersive. Yeah, like all sorts of crazy stuff like that. And like, they'll hurt you, but like they know the limits. And you just sign waivers, like just in case you get really hurt, you can't sue them. Like, there's like people that go on. People go deep with this stuff.
I like that.
You're like, yeah, these are great ideas.
I like these alternative business ideas.
Like, these are real off the cuff stuff, real deep, dark it stuff.
Is. I like, but you know, the kids, what I think is funny is like Ruth is like, we're watching Frozen again and she's scared of the wolf scenes now. She's like, oh, the wolves, Frozen's too scary because there's right. wolf scenes. You know what movie her and Frank really like right now?
Huh.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Amber loves that. She dressed up as Sally. She was Sally for...
Really?
She was Sally for... And she was Jack Skellington 2 years ago.
So they saw a kid was dressed as Jack Skellington, mm-hmm. and they were walking by, and I was like, Ruth, Frank, it's the Pumpkin King. And they were like...
The Pumpkin
oh my,
King.
Dude, they freaked yeah. out. They were like, oh my gosh. Like, oh my gosh. Him. Frank was going like, Pumpkin King! It's the Pumpkin King! And they were like, the kid did not get... why they were so obsessed. He was like 6 or 7. They're 2 and 3.
Right.
But yeah, Frank now sings. He just goes, Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
Halloween. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
It's just like, how do you not find that movie utterly terrifying?
It's funny because...
But the wolves, like, you know, freaking what's-his-face getting away from the wolves.
Yeah.
They get away. Nothing even happens. But then you have, like, these guys kidnap Santa Claus and give him to the boogeyman.
And everyone like, in that movie is like a demented...
Is dead.
But also just like a demented, terrifying individual who's like, I eat brains.
I am the clown with the ripped off face.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, and they like, their guts fall out. It's like, tight. It's really scary. But I will say this. I feel like...
Sally escapes by just jumping out of the window and her whole body falls
explodes.
Apart. And then she like sews her arm back onto her body.
She's kidnapped.
And she
by a terrifying scientist who keeps her up in the...
Created her, and she has to constantly drug him.
Yes.
To get out.
Frog's breath. Yeah. I hate frogs. Oh, nothing's more suspicious than frog's breath.
Like, dude, that's a terrifying concept. I feel like Tim Burton figured out a way to, like, show it to where, like, kids don't get the depth of how demented this is. It's just fun and kind of playful.
Wait till we're re-watching Edward Scissorhands.
Another really scary
dude
one.
What I love though about Tim Burton stuff is Tim Burton, you know who writes all of Tim Burton's music for those, like the guy who wrote all that?
Yeah,
the singer from Oingo Boingo.
He just did a whole huge
yeah they
concert
do
the
every
Hollywood
year
Bowl.
They do
yeah.
it. My one of my best friend's birthdays is Halloween.
Element no what's his
Danny
name?
Elfman.
Danny Elfman, yeah,
one of my best friends is born on Halloween. Buddy Matt, happy birthday Matt. And he
birthday,
thanks big. And he goes, like, he's gone to that like a bunch of times, but cool. He's a big Tim Burton. But I just think for anyone who doesn't know who Danny Elfman and Oingo Boingo is,
it's a funny, you would not expect it.
Oingo Boingo is the band that does Whip It.
Yeah.
Whip it good. But that guy who wrote that writes all of Tim Burton's scores.
He's like a legendary.
Not the lyrics, the fucking scores.
He's a legendary composer.
Went from Oingo Boingo to This Is Halloween. Halloween.
Terrifying.
Halloween. Everybody scream.
Yeah, you're like, the Pumpkin King.
It's so tight.
It's an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Dude, it's actually really funny. When she was four, I want to say, or three or four, she was in her like daycare school. All the kids are running around in their costumes doing a Halloween parade. Every, you know, girl is a princess. One is Woody, you know, just like the general children. And then Ember walks in, Jack Skellington painted on stitches and creepy smile. And she's just walking around like, and we're like, that's our kid.
Dude, that's sick though. Ruth and Frank were just dressed in what they wear every day.
Right.
Frank wears a pirate outfit every day, like a head to toe pirate regalia, and Ruth wears one of her. I don't even know why we have clothes for her anymore, because we go to the thrift store and buy old Disney princess dresses,
and that's just what she wears every day
in rotation,
right?
Only those, and she sleeps in them.
So Ember went through a princess dress phase where she would just wear the most uncomfortable dresses.
She was
every
wearing
day.
Her belled tiara and her Ariel dress. And someone was like, oh my gosh, are you Ariel? Are you? She's like, no, I'm a mermaid princess.
Right.
And they were like, wow. And
you're
I
like,
was
technically, you're
except
right.
I was telling him, I was like, yeah, except she dresses like this every day.
Yeah. Like this is her.
So, and they were like, what about him? Like, is he the pie? And I was like, no, he also dresses like that every day. Like, I was like, the dress up thing isn't really special to them about Halloween. They're psyched about the candy. But Becca and I were saying, like, for future years, we want them to have to make their Halloween costumes.
Oh, nice.
So they can't just be like these generic store-bought ones. It's like, be like, make something.
Yeah. Man, we're dads, you know?
Such dads.
We're such dads. It was so funny. We were reminiscing. We were like, we used to go to Halloween parties every year, like in Hollywood. And now we go trick-or-treating. And it's like, how
now the
life
Halloween,
changes.
Now the Halloween party is going to be about scaring the fucking pants off these kids. I'm like dedicated on it. My buddies will be so into it.
Children.
It's a good time. Everyone's too sensitive. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it. Like I was thinking about, we're going to paint some murals in the gym, and I want the, like, just, you know, whatever, the hype up stuff. And the sign that I want to paint in my weightlifting gym, just me painted on the wall, like not even nice. Just put shut the fuck up, do it.
Do it.
Shut the fuck up, do it.
Just do it.
Or just STFU, do it. I'm just like on a wall. And if someone's like, that is inappropriate, I'd be like, fuck you. Like, this is weightlifting, dude. This is a gym.
This is weight. You know, like this how bro-y this just got.
It is bro-y. Dude, the thing of like
just,
people.
Just look, lift.
When I was coaching kids, the thing that like, the hardest thing was like, dude, give a shit.
Right, care.
What are you in here for?
Because their parents made them.
What are you doing anything in life for? So many people just don't give a shit.
When they're kids, a dude. And they also, most things are just parents making them do it.
They don't even try
kids
hard.
Kids
want to
chill.
They go somewhere. They're like, I want to do this, but they don't want to put in any work.
Dude, you are cementing us being dads so heavy. But, we're but already talking is, about like my generation.
Well, I was coaching kids for a long time, and it was like, yeah, I got to see it where you're just like, dude, what do you mean? Like, why are you even here?
Yeah.
Save your parents the money. Don't come.
Save your parents the money. You think the kids are doing it for themselves? The parents are doing it for themselves to get the kid out of the house.
Dude, but
so
when
that
you
they
say
don't have
that
to watch
stuff,
him.
They're like, ah, ah, and you're like, dude, you're literally wasting my time. But I want to have this thing
the
in there
old grizzled
for like,
vet.
Dude. Well, it's funny because I was talking to my therapist about it, where she's like, you have such a self-deprecating like internal dialogue, and I was like, yeah, I think it comes from being in sports. Like my whole life is like. You're never good enough.
No, no, never.
You're always a piece of shit. You can always do more. And I'm like, firmly, I'm like, in the workout context, it's like, you should always do one more.
Mm.
It's always like the day you feel least motivated is the most important day to do your workout. Because right. That's when the gains are made. When it's hard.
I love that.
When it's hard. And the truth is like, if you have a goal, if you have goals or ambitions in life, like you need to develop an outlet that teaches you like perseverance and resilience to be able to pursue those things.
Yeah.
At some point before you decide that you're going to pursue a goal. For some people it's sports, for some people it might be art, for some people it's whatever, but there's a thing where there's a process you go through where you're electively going through a trial and error and repeated failure of like, you're not going to get it right 100 times over to finally get something right and build a skill. And like the thing is like the language around that, the like motivational language around that is a lot of like, shut the fuck up and do it. Like you're never going to learn to do anything by just being like, it's hard. It's like, yeah, no shit. Are you going to like I had this vision of doing this sign that was like, you know, climbing is about falling. What's important is like what happens after you fall. Is that it? Or are you willing to fall again? Because that to me is like real strength is the like the Batman quote of like, what happens when we fall down, Bruce? Like we pick ourselves up and you do it again. It's like the horseback riding one of like, you have to get back on the horse. Like, I feel like we've just coddled so many kids from like whatever people had, whatever the generations before us, awful trauma and shit. But it's like now we're teaching kids that it's like things you just come like a kid's having a hard time and you just come and like give them a hug and like shelter the shit out of them and like hold their hand through every single process. And it's like, life isn't like that. Life is not, the bank isn't going to hold your hand because you fucked up your checking account because you're in debt. You think they're going to have sympathy for you. They're going to be like, you're an idiot and you spent money you didn't have.
Right.
You didn't budget it right.
Right.
And now you're going to have to figure out, you're going to have to get a second job.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, well, that's hard. And you're going to have to find some inner strength somewhere. You might find that in my gym, reading a mural.
Come on down.
Reading a mural that I painted on the wall that says, right. Quit being a little fucking whatever and just do something. Right. Do something with your life.
Okay.
Lift this weight.
So.
Climb this rock.
Right.
This fake rock that I made for you.
I made for you.
So many people don't challenge themselves.
I get that. I mean, I think, I'm sure, in you know, it's funny. I used to teach drum lessons for a year when I was a teenager, when I was a drummer, and similar thing, right? Like a lot of kids didn't want to be there, or they wanted to be, but then they realized how much work it was going to be, and they were like, "Oh, this is not like, great," you know.
They do that whole Allen Iverson thing, like practice.
Yeah, what's practice?
What
yeah,
are you talking about practice?
Yeah, right. But the one thing, because I'm a little bit more like you in that way, where it's like I grew up sports my whole life and had coaches that were mostly like that, you know, like do it, you know, but.
They really scream in your face.
Or scream in my face. I scream obscenities at you.
And
you know?
If you didn't do it, they kicked you off.
Right.
They were like, go sit on the bench. You're not playing next game.
I feel like there's like a probably a blend though, because I do feel like some people aren't motivated by that mentality. Some people are motivated by like love, you know, like, oh, I feel loved. I feel cared for. I feel like someone's being patient with me. That excites me and makes me feel like I want to impress them and impress myself. Whatever it is, you know, like everyone's motivated by like a different channel.
Everyone though gets motivated when you acknowledge process.
Oh, definitely.
Like, and that's what I momentum. Want. That's what I want it to get across is like climbing is hard. It's supposed to be hard.
Right.
You need to embrace that it's hard, and that's what makes it rewarding.
Right.
And like, you know, your successes are only in a product of your failures. And there's not to me, like literally, I don't think that like the stuff I get inspired by is watching people fail over and over and over again, even publicly, to eventually hit like a successful point.
Sure.
That's like that. We saw inspirational stories from all that kind of stuff. Like, dude, fucking
a guy who failed and then made it to the top kind of thing.
If you watch the any of the Steve Jobs movies, which is a funny one to go into, but Apple failed so many times
right
before they got it right.
Right.
So many times they failed. And it's like all these companies, like all these people who did anything did. Think about bands. You work with musicians all the time.
Yeah.
How hard they were. When I was working for Borgore, he told me he had to start his music career by paying other people to let him play
right
at their event. He would bribe them to just let him get a set right. to get on. And it's like, dude, where's that mentality? Where is that mentality amongst these, amongst, you know, it's like, that's so far and few. But I do think there's places where people can do this. And I think if people see things of like, it's everything is process oriented. Mm. I might be fixated on this because I'm with the kids right now where Ruth is constantly in that age of like, she wants to roller skate, but she puts them on and then she's like, it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Right. I feel though, Ember's taught me a lot about this because, you know, we sound similar in like how we grew up or how we were taught how to do something, whatever. And it's funny because I was even talking to Beck about this, where it's like she's taught me a lot in that I was applying a lot of those mentalities to her early on and I was getting nowhere. I was swimming was a big one. It was like I was trying to get her to swim and she just wouldn't. And I was trying to do that. I know it's hard, but you know, life's hard kind of thing. And she just wouldn't budge. She just wouldn't learn and she would barely try. And the second I let off the gas, she would be like, I don't want to do this. So then I just chilled and I said, you know, I just would. So then I'd kind of show her by example, be like, I want to swim over here. And then she couldn't come with me. So then she'd be like, oh, that sucks. How do I, you know what I mean? And I was kind of massaging. I was kind of trying to understand like whatever I'm doing isn't working. So like, what is the change? And I noticed if I gave her space, she'd find her way into it. And now she's like a little fish swimming everywhere. There is a level too of like, you can be too sensitive to where you're not like motivating someone. But then there's the other side where it's like some people actually just want to feel like you're giving them the space to find it in their own way. And that's how she is. If I kind of just show her the potential of what she could do if she kept going, like if I'm biking around and she's like, I don't really want to, oh, I kind of want to do that. And then she starts digging in. And it's interesting how like every kid's a little different, you know, like every kid comes from a different place. But like you said, momentum is the key to all this, you know?
Yeah.
And this is really, and this is Chatty Bros inspirational
right?
Podcast.
And I mean, look, I empathize and sympathize with wherever people are like physically, like, for instance, I have been climbing for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I should be climbing at a much higher level than I am.
Got it.
I'm like, I just don't dedicate whatever. Right. I don't have time.
Right.
But it takes a shitload of time to get that strong. But I do think like the most valuable thing is the mentality. The most valuable, like what I'm trying to instill in Ruth and Frank and what I would try to coach people in is like, the resilience towards falling flat on your face and being comfortable with being uncomfortable and not knowing how to do something and starting somewhere, starting at the zero point, being at the bottom. And that's like, I keep telling Ruth of like, watching you do something naturally doesn't make me proud. What makes me proud is watching you like fall down and then get back up.
Right.
That's when I'm the most proud of you. And just being like, whatever that is, whether it's an instrument or like a, whatever skill she wants to learn, I'm just like, whatever it is that you decide you're going to push through those feelings on, that's like how you're going to navigate life.
Right.
Learning how to do things you don't want to do, you know?
Yeah.
Or like setting your goals on something and then realizing it's going to be really, really, really hard, and just embrace that and embrace the process. Yeah. That's like the heart to me. That's like what I'm latching on to is like the most important thing. Cause if someone can do that, if someone can just do that, then they're set. They're on their own.
Right. Right.
But it's true. If you want to do anything, like not, and I don't mean do something like get hired or do it. I'm saying it's like you have an original idea or you have a project in mind. You have an improvement you want to do at your house. It's hard to start that.
Right.
It's just hard. It is. And then to follow it through and see it to the end, like it's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know. People need to, I'm just sort of like, I don't know. I think we've universally just accepted that like hardship is like uncomfortable and we're trying to like get away from discomfort. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I might be going too deep. I just watched All Quiet on the Western Front.
So Halloween was good.
Halloween was positive. Yeah. Halloween was positive.
All right. You want to get into this episode?
Let's episodes, go. Dude. Episodes.
Dude. So Jacob and Shanae mouth cleaning. Great date. You know, very quirky. I mean, let's be real. If you kiss someone, if their kiss was the cleanest kiss you could ever have. I mean, a full brushing right before. That's two very fresh mouths.
It's the best.
I think it's pretty solid. I mean,
it was a good kiss too.
It was. They made out. Shanae, you know, here's the deal with Shanae. Shanae and Jacob both are very, they're very unabashed. They are not, they don't hold back. They just experience any moment that comes at you.
I think Shanae is my favorite Bachelor contestant of all time.
She, talk about an arc. I mean, you just, wild.
I've always been a fan of the villains.
Yeah.
But Shanae's my favorite.
There you go.
She's got a great attitude.
Yeah. She's just wild. I mean, I wouldn't say she always has a great attitude. I would say that she is entertaining.
I think she has a fantastic attitude.
I mean, she has good attitude, you know, but she's had her moments. Victoria, Johnny, and Alex, that whole debacle. That was, dude.
My man coming out on top.
Johnny?
My man Johnny coming out on top. What are your career goals? I've got a lot of motivation and a lot of drive.
A lot of motivation and a lot
That's
of drive.
That's all it took, baby.
What are you bad at? I don't know, work too hard? Try too much?
I just love the question, what are your career goals? And it's like, what?
It's like, dude, I've
like, I'm
question.
Really inspired by things. I daydream a whole lot. Like I've got this journal with a bunch of good ideas.
You should see how many ideas I have.
Yeah.
A million.
She bought it. She bought his ideas.
Well, what's crazy is like, clearly this was a head over heart situation, right? Where like her head was like Alex, right? Alex is the perfect husband. He's got his shit together. He's, you know, assertive. He's handsome. He's got all these things. And then Johnny is a little bit more that young loose cannon vibe. But it's funny how like her heart was clearly Johnny. Like she clearly had like this, like I really like him a lot. I like being around him. We have a great chemistry and I don't have all that with Alex, but I really feel like we'd be good together on paper. It's funny because Alex came in and was killing it. He was like assertive. He was trying. He was like taking her on little dates. He was being sensitive. He was killing it. And then I just thought it was over for him. I thought it never works when the person becomes mopey,
you know what?
And they become negative because then the person's very attracted to not that. And then she just fully chose Johnny. I was like, holy shit.
But you
shit.
Know why? Because he did the ultimate power play.
What's that?
He didn't ask her to. He was like, no, like it's clear you want to like explore your options. So if you want to explore your options, good luck with that. Like I'm not going to stick around.
But we see later that doesn't like, always work.
No, but Johnny fucking, he threw that card on the table. He hedged that bet. And she, dude, I am going to stand by. There's nothing sexier than what you can't have. And Victoria is used to I guarantee
everyone
you,
like pawning pandering
and doing
her,
this
yeah.
thing. And Johnny's like, I don't give a fuck what you say about me. I don't care if you say that I'm younger. I don't care if you say that my career is not there. I'm not going to dance in this like horse and pony show to prove yeah. to you that I'm the guy you should be with. If you can't realize that, go have fun exploring your other options. I'm out. I've got different things to spend my time worrying about.
Right.
And that was like, he might've been mopey, but that was his attitude when she was talking to him. He's like, cool, go explore your options.
Right.
And she was like, the fuck? And now he's in the position where right. like someone comes and tries to take Victoria on a date and she's like, no, I'm good. And he's like, that's my girl. Just casual, yeah. chill.
But then at the same time, Alex is still around. It'd be interesting to see what'll happen. To see it, like, because we'd obviously, they don't show us everything, but it'll be interesting to see if he chips away at that.
Yeah.
Like his, once Johnny, you know, if Johnny starts doing some stuff that she doesn't like, will he be right there to pick up the pieces? We do
right
not know.
Now, I like Johnny's lackadaisical, you know,
kind of chilled out attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very
I
chill.
Just think that was, I think that was well handled.
Yeah. It was shocking. I was not expecting that.
I was thought, not expecting
I was
expecting
just like, she's the, gone. Like, there's no way.
I was
no
like,
way,
dude, literally, like, this guy's rich, handsome, and he wants to do all the things
that
she said.
And he's super assertive, and he's fighting for her. And I was like, you're done. And Johnny got out with it. I
except
was
because
away.
What can be assertive is laying down boundaries. This was, like, dating advice I'd give my friends is, like, you don't want to be with someone who's,
like... We'll get into
like,
that. We'll get into that, because there's a lot there.
Right? But you don't want to be with someone who's, like... Oh, like, what do you want to do? Oh, whatever yeah. you want to do. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to eat tonight? I don't know. Wherever you want to eat.
Which is a little like, bit of the Logan Kate vibe.
Dude, it's like, it's a have little a bit of fucking that. Opinion. If you're on a date, like, if anyone's single here and they're dating and you go on a first date with somebody, don't agree with everything. Don't agree with anything you don't actually agree with. Watch them go through that. Deal with that. See how it, like, have an actual discussion. Don't just, like, be so, like, don't be focused on being so, like, I don't know, compatible in this way, because like you don't, the whole thing of opposites attract, it's totally fine to disagree with somebody. But that's where I was like, you know, I just liked what he was like, I'm not making a decision. It's not my choice that you have to make between me and him. I'm not even going to get into a comparative thing with that guy. If you want to go explore your options with him, I'm off the table.
Yeah.
That's the power play.
Right.
That's putting a line in the sand and being like, make a choice. Loved it.
Well, it worked. It
totally worked. It works with most people.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I feel like she... I knew that she had more chemistry with him. That was definitely the vibe. Was like, you could tell they have more chemistry together. You could tell that like, on paper, Alex is the better fit. But you could tell she was just kind of not... If there was like 5% more chemistry with Alex, it would have been over. But she just couldn't.
Alex is boring.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. Definitely not as unpredictable as Johnny, even though Johnny's not super unpredictable. It's just that young energy. You know what I mean? Like that young versus older energy. It's like, it's going to be more unpredictable. And it was funny though, because they went on that date and then they were like, I'm really scared to be with you. And I just, you know, I'm afraid of love. And I was like, wait, aren't you guys like, didn't you guys fight for each other? And now you're here. I was like, what's the fear? But it was like, and they opened up and it was a beautiful moment. It was surprising to me that Johnny like is so terrified to lose her, and then he gets like in the tent with her and he's like, I just don't know if I can even open up to you. And I was like, what?
I love it.
I was like, oh shit. Like, I guess he's afraid though. He's like, I don't want another Alex coming in and like frightening me. Dude, then we got Justin back. Oh, my heart. My heart.
So juicy.
Oh my
God. If there was ever a doubt in anyone's mind about our opinion that the producers don't give a fuck about anybody on this show, Justin coming back is all the proof you need.
All the proof. He's like, oh, wait, Rodney? They're like, wait, oh, Rodney, nice guy.
They're like, Rodney,
doing
who?
Really good. Burn it.
Burn it to the ground.
Burn it.
Oh, he's happy? Perfect. Let's
Someone's
destroy
happy.
That.
Let's destroy them. Remember Jill? Oh, yes. Perfect.
Destroyed her.
Destroyed her. Who's the next soul?
Yeah. Literally Sauron is like running this
Dude,
show.
It's insane. So Justin comes down, he goes Morgoth. Right for her, you know what I mean? Does the whole thing. When Justin pulls her, you know, Rodney had, because you saw the whole thing. Justin comes down, Rodney, along with four other guys, run up to Justin and give him a pod. Dude, we're so happy. And they even zoom in on Rodney and be like, oh, he's such a good dude. Great, dude. I'm so stoked to have him back. And he goes, Eliza, can I talk to you? And he just goes,
Rodney does.
Yeah, Rodney's like smiling and be like, wait, what? And the best way I could think of like an analogy for this was if you go into your boss's office excited to talk about your raise and then they fire you. And you're just like, oh, I love working here. I'm so excited for this next year. And I be bringing so much value to the company. I can't wait. And I think this amount is what I should be paid more because I've been really just bringing a lot to the table. And I'm really excited. And they're like, we're going to have to let you go. And you're just like, oh, and sorry, what did you just say? Like, you just saw that look in his eyes of like, what did you just say?
I loved.
Like, his look was like shock and awe.
So I think Rodney, I love how Rodney handled when Justin finally talked to him.
Yeah, he kind of was tweaked. He was like, the damage is done.
I loved that. I love that.
Because Rodney's like, been a nice guy through the whole thing. And he kind of,
he's like, yeah, bro, let's go talk. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to hear whatever you said. Yeah, you were not my boy. He was basically like, there's no salvaging this. Like, you are not my boy. Because what you did, not what my boy would do.
It was pretty, listen.
Well, when he was like, yeah, you're going to do your thing or whatever. She's going to make her choice. Damage has been done.
Yeah. Wild. But what do you do? I mean, there's a 50-50 there.
Oh, I was telling Becca when I was watching that.
By the way, Justin doesn't know that Rodney and her are, because Justin wasn't there when Eliza came in. So there is a level to that too, where Justin is like, oh yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to probably swoop her from somebody, but like at the same time.
He had a long time to go talk to Rodney.
Oh no, I'm not saying he did it perfectly. I'm just saying at the initial thought of going after Eliza, but yeah, that's where he blew it, is he didn't like pull the moment Rodney Eliza aside.
Told him, the moment Eliza told him that Rodney's her dude, he would have been like, oh shit, Rodney's my boy, let me go talk to him.
Exactly. He took way too long. And once you take a little too long, it's over.
It's done. It's a perfect example. I mean, the catchphrase isn't, you can't say it anymore, but so we'll say.
You mean, oh, friends before love?
Yeah. He did that the reverse. He did the reversed.
Straight
he's
up.
Your friend who you like have been friends with for a long time. And then the moment you broke up with your girlfriend, suddenly he's hooking up with your ex-girlfriend.
Right.
You're like,
yeah, the classic, like, hey, do you want to talk? I'm so sorry, you and Gray. Like, I know you guys are going through some stuff. Come here. You know, you just deserve that. No, but I don't think it's was like that. Stared. I don't.
Well, no, because he wasn't watching them date.
No, he just came up and said, they were in the middle of dating. And he just said, hey, I really like you, whatever. So it was different in that way.
No, it was more so the like, you've been homesick, like you were out of school sick for like a while and your buddy just started a relationship with this girl and then you come back to school, you're not sick anymore. You meet this new girl and you're like, dang, like I got something with this girl. But then she's like, hey, like I've actually been seeing this guy. And then in your head, you're like, oh, that's my best friend.
Right.
But fuck him. I am into you.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to throw all the history I have with him away.
Except it was more like you've been developing this relationship on the playground with this girl and your friend just walks right up to her and says, you want to date me instead? she goes, maybe.
Your friend comes up, you're trying really hard. Like you've been putting in effort. You've been making her feel special. You've been doing all this stuff. And your buddy comes up and he just goes, what's up? Anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's what works. Right. You know, sadly, he's got his hair across his eyes, skateboard, and he's like,
what's up? And I feel bad.
What's your name? Cool. Yeah.
What's your name again?
And she's like, we've met like a million times, but like, you know, this is my name. And he's like, cool. So anyway,
but the only difference in this case is that it's actually the opposite energy because she was wanting a more assertive person and he comes in right for her and goes, I like you. I'm fearless about it. Let's go. And he is killing it.
What she's doing is playing games.
But let's talk about Justin real quick. Justin is killing it.
Like
when it comes to like going for it and then making her feel special and making her feel wanted and fought for, bro, he's killing it. He's taking her on all sorts of little moments. He goes on the date. He hangs out with her. He constantly, there's tons of footage of him pulling her and saying, hey, how are you doing? I like you a lot. Whatever. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Like he is putting the groundwork in. And dude, Rodney's
she's made her
going
mind
through
up.
It.
She's made her mind up. I feel bad for Rodney. Dude, there was a moment when like he was dealing with the conflict. He was so much more comfortable in that position than Justin. When he just handled just that moment of just, yeah, damage has been done.
Yeah.
And the eye contact he gave him was like, you're not my friend. And Justin was like really off put. And Rodney's just like, Rodney was so comfortable in that confrontation. But just that like looking at him and just being like, yeah, no, this is like, this is where, this is the choice you made. This is where we're at now. And these are your consequences. It's like, you're not my boy.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I feel
that's hard to do.
You're right. And I do feel like there was a lot of things packaged up during the whole confrontation of her saying like, I want you to say, don't go. And I want you to do this. And he's going, well, I want to be cool. I think
I really appreciate it. Sorry. It's just what's her face? Who was standing up really hard for him being like, dude, like, what are you expecting from him in this position?
Well, it was Genevieve. I think there was definitely a lot of Genevieve talking about how she hopes they stay together and how Justin doesn't deserve her and all this stuff. Which obviously is loaded because they have beef. But so like in the beginning, I had a bunch of opinions about like how they had their confrontation. And I was like, I see both sides, but I also see how she's this or I see how he's this. And I understand that. But like when I'm now that I've seen the second episode and seeing how they continue to talk about it and how the whole thing goes down. And I feel like you could criticize people in the situation for whatever happened. But what I'm truly feeling a little bit of is that like Justin is ticking a couple more boxes for her that he wasn't. And there probably is some truth in what she was. There's definitely some truth into what she was saying, which is like, I want you to be more assertive. I want you to come after me. I want you to chase me. Like, I want you to want me. And I feel like you're just kind of so passive about our whole thing that like, I need you to like, not just be Mr. Nice Guy all the time. And I understand that 100%, but I bet there is a level where it's like, there's just a couple extra boxes that Justin is checking and they're trying to put words to it and they don't want to hurt everyone's feeling. But I bet she just had a little bit more chemistry and like you can't really like, and you can blame it on a bunch of different things, but it felt like that was just the thing.
The truth is like we're seeing people self-conscious about being on TV. Because Rodney was literally like said to her, he's like, dude, like I just didn't like, how am I supposed to handle that situation? Like, you, it's a catch 22. Is like, if Rodney's overly like protective or is like, no, you can't do that. I don't want you to do that. If you do that, like I'm going to put all these things you see in The Bachelor, in The Bachelorette, you put contingencies on there. You put parameters and like all these boundaries on like how your relationship functions. It never works out for anybody on this show. And in Paradise in the past, anyone who's been like too possessive, it backfires. And she was so ambiguous in what she was like. She's like, I mean, do you want me to go on this date? And he's like, of course not. But like, if you want to do this, you can do it. And he was like, I want you, if you feel like you want to explore an option and you choose me at the end of the option, then that really means something. And if you have an inkling to explore something, then I'm not going to stand in your way to do it. And she wasn't like, she wasn't explicitly clear enough in my mind to get him to realize that she was like, I want you to fight for me. All I want for you to say is don't go. She never like really said that.
She totally said, I wanted you to say don't go.
Yeah, after the fact.
Right.
But otherwise I'm like, no, you're playing games with him.
But at the
you're playing games because he also said to her, he was like, but like, how would that have looked? He literally said to her,
right,
how would that, how am I supposed to know that? There's so many things to be aware of.
This is a symptom because the exact same thing happens with Logan and Kate, right? She literally says,
I'm not here for any,
right? But here's what I feel like is happening. That like if you take the isolated incidences and say, oh, what they did was playing games, or oh, that was whatever. I feel like what they're just feeling is, and I think you could argue that the way they go about it isn't the best way to go about it. And it's kind of like young feeling, you know, where it's like, I want you to want me. So I'm going to play. I'm going to do this thing. Right. And there's an argument for that. But more what I'm getting at is like what clearly seems to be the case is that these ladies are feeling like their guys are very lazy and that they got them in the bag. And so like, there's this thing of like, there's other guys who want us. And like, you guys aren't putting any, like the second there's no more guys in the picture that are threatening, you're not putting any more work in. That's, like, you backed off entirely and you're just chilling on the beach all day, hanging out around. And I feel like you were giving me so much energy right up until there was no more threats. And then you back off entirely. And so I think there's this level of them going like, I have now someone else that wants me. Are you still bringing that energy? Or do you just think it's like, I got my old lady with me now? And guys, I think that, like, and we're talking like, this is days, right? We're not talking years of a relationship. We're talking like 2 days later.
This is guys' brains 101.
Right. And so I think that they're kind of going, yo, still chase me a little bit. She'll have that energy towards me. Don't give up so easily just because there's no. So then both the girls do the exact same thing. They both accept the date, hoping that the guys will kind of wake up and be like, no, you're my girl. They probably see the energy of Brandon giving it to his girl. And they're like, we want that.
Brandon and Serene can get the fuck off the beach.
That's what I mean, though. But like,
they don't. Brandon, first off, Brandon can't do wrong in any woman's eyes.
But Brandon put
every
the work
woman
in
is in love with
and
Brandon.
Has put the work in from day one. And when Absolutely. She walks down the beach, he's running into her arms and like he puts the work in. So I think a lot of these girls are seeing that and being like, I'd like a little bit of that.
My vibe, I mean, has just gotten on you about that, of being like, make me feel pursued.
Of course, there's been sections of our marriage where like, it's like, yo, where's the pursuit? Where's
the
romance?
Talk about
whatever.
A played out song.
No, but it's true, because we all have our like... But no, like guys can really get down this thing where we just get complacent.
This is guys' brains 101. Is like, it's decided.
Right.
What do you mean? Like, you're going to be there. It's this thing of like moving in with someone. My buddy told me this, where he never wants to move in with his girlfriend. It takes him like forever to move in with any girl he's dating.
He knows he'll just kind of sign
like,
off.
Dude, the moment I do,
it's just lazy.
I am guaranteed to see her. And all of the excitement of like looking forward right. to seeing her, planning things, making her consistently see how good of a guy I am and all this stuff.
The facade's gone.
It's all gone because it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. And we're lazy pieces of shit if right. you're like us. And that's why, you know, that's why the approach, that's why I dig Johnny's approach was I was like, I related to that where he was just like, excuse me, like you want me to do more? You take it or leave it.
But the way I look at it is
it wasn't quite like that. Though.
Right.
I'll just say
but
it wasn't
the only
quite
thing I would
like
say.
That.
And look, I'm not defending what they did. The ladies. This is not even a diatribe about like the girls messed up. The guys messed up. I don't care who messed up. I don't care who was even in the wrong. What I'm more interested in. And we can get in. Once we get into Aaron and Genevieve, I feel the exact same way.
Know, well,
it's like it's a small tweak.
Beck and I's relationship hinged on that conversation. She was supposed to go to paradise.
Right.
Becca was talking to producers about going to paradise.
And if you would have been like, I don't care,
we
do
dating.
Your thing, yeah, go. There's a 90% chance you wouldn't be together.
The week before she was supposed right. to leave was when we had this big conversation of like, she was supposed to leave that week.
Right.
And we were having this whole thing and leading up to it. And we dated for like 2 months, I think, leading up to her going to paradise. And the whole plan was she was going to go on paradise. And it was like this conversation of like, yeah, no, I know that you have that coming down the pipe. And the way I was thinking about it was like when you're dating a girl in college and you're like, oh, we're all going to go home. You're having this thing like we're just falling in love, you know, and like and there's a time stamp on it and there's like a freedom in that. Or like when you have a fling on vacation where you're like, you know, you're going to leave and never see them again or whatever. But it was like, hey, this is a career opportunity for you. You're riding this crazy wave, like do that. I'm not going to stand in the way of you going on this like TV show, like this whole thing, you know. And then when it came down to it and it was like going, like we started getting in like little bits of fights or whatever. And I was just like, you know what? Like, I know you're going. I don't want you to. I don't want you to go because I think I'm in love with you. And that was like this whole thing where then
you were
like
loving
crying
2 months. Wow.
And tears and like this whole thing of like, I don't like if you're going to go on the show, like go on the show. But like, I can't tell you that like, I don't want you to anymore. She was telling me she was torn on the like, why would I, I'm in love with you right now. Right. Why would I go on
right
this other thing? Like it just suddenly.
But if you were like, I don't care, it's cool, whatever. Then she'd be like, oh, maybe he doesn't feel the same way.
So let's,
and then
can
it's
we
over.
Go to the moment? Can we go to the big moment? Because this is, if we're talking me and Becca, the most, if anyone wants to know what our relationship is like, Aaron Genevieve argument is verbatim, word for word, and repetitive arguments we have had.
Right.
That is our relationship. To a T
right.
is the like, somehow getting on the wrong page and then being like, I care so much because I love you. And then being like, oh, fuck, babe.
Right.
But also what he's putting his foot down on, the trigger for him, me, 100%. What he saw red on, what he saw the absolute no-go boundary line was like, I am exactly the same way.
How funny.
Do not come between me and my boys. My favorite, the start of it, Pacificos and pool.
Yeah, Pacificos and pool?
No, not even Pacificos. Pacificos and pool.
Dude.
I had the subtitles on and it said Pacificos and pool. And I was like, that's so... We need to talk. We need to try to get them on.
I know, dude. But there was so many... I kept writing because there were so many subtleties in the argument that made me laugh. Because it was like, it started off with like... She, like, again, when you're out of it and there's no emotion attached, you're like, there's a million ways this could have ended so cleanly and easily in 2 seconds, right?
Mm-hmm.
If she, because she was, I will say, she was super calm and super mature how she approached the situation. She didn't freak out on him. She go, what the fuck is your problem? He's the one that snapped. So she was just being nice and said, I want to spend a little special time with you. Can we do that? Basically. And he's like, let's bring the boys, right? And so she's like,
without
hey,
asking, right, can without you asking. Bring the
so
boys?
So he totally blew it, right? And then she just goes, hey, like, I'd like to spend more than 10 minutes today together. Like, can we have a moment? And he just looks at her and goes, are you seriously doing this right now? And it was just such an over the top response. And I've definitely done that before. Like, especially they've been drinking, whatever.
In front. And Victoria and Johnny.
I don't know going, why. She's just like, what?
Johnny,
like,
I loved Johnny's response. This whole thing is ultimate. Your boys coming first. When she's like, what are they arguing about? And he goes, I don't know. They're just talking loud.
Yeah.
That was the, like, I'm not even, we can all hear exactly what they're saying, but we're not, mom and dad are talking loud. Right. We're just going to let them talk loud and not listen to whatever it is. Even though I
right.
was so down for that response.
It was so
And
funny.
I love that they're as far away as me and you are.
Literally.
Fully
full
fucking,
blown fighting and there's 30 people on the bed.
That is me and Becca.
So.
To a T.
Yeah, no fear. And it's funny. But so then they get on the fight. They're having all these things. And there's so many one-liners to me that are so funny.
Let's read through them.
Well, no, I mean, just like the gaslighting thing was hilarious. Like, clearly not what gaslighting is. And just be like, you pissed me off, so you're gaslighting me was just unbelievable. He's like, dude, she wants to hang out with me and I want to hang out with the boys. She's gaslighting me. And I was like, not quite. Just made up the word. Are you really doing this killed me. You make me feel like I did something wrong.
I was love hilarious. That.
Like, it had nothing to do with that. She was just like, I need a little special time with you. Oh yeah. No other dude's girl is mad at him, but
yes!
You're always tweaking
yes!
at me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like
comparing to the other relationship.
And it was so funny to me too,
Score!
Because it was funny because like, she wasn't even mad. She wasn't tweaking at him. She wasn't screaming at him. She was just like, hey, can we spend a little more time right
no,
now together?
She was guilt tripping him.
It doesn't matter. She wasn't like later on they got into it, but
don't
no question.
It doesn't matter. Do you know how many times I've died on this
no,
hill?
Hear me out.
It
hear
matters.
Me out. Hear me out. She was flawless for those first 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say anything wrong. She didn't go, you've been doing this all day. You're lame. You didn't. She literally just said like, I want to spend a little time with you. And I feel a little bit like rejected. It was literally that sweet. And he's like, are you seriously doing that? No one's mad. You're mad at me all the time. Like he just was like down her throat. Like clearly they had been fighting. So like he was on edge. But what killed me was like in that very moment, all he had to do to solve the whole thing was be like, oh babe. Yeah. I'm so sorry. That was kind of an error of judgment. Let's go grab a drink. Spend 20 minutes with her. Go back. We hang out with everyone all over.
Yeah.
But instead,
totally.
He's just like, I'm not but having this. And it was killing me because it just reminded me of me when I was young, when it was like, instead of small fixes, she just clearly felt like she needed a little attention. If he gives her 30 minutes of attention, it's all over. They're connected. She feels good. We're back to, but instead let's fight for the next 3 hours and blow the whole camp to pieces. And it was just so
because
funny.
What's
dude.
Being triggered is him being like, yeah, that whole week you were gone. Women were pursuing. I was doing things. You're just talking about, do you know how many things I do for you
right.
all the time? And you want to talk about spending time together. We've spent all day together.
Right.
What are you talking about? Was right. like the ultimate, it pinged that self-consciousness of like, is it never enough? Are all the unspoken and unacknowledged things mm-hmm. I do not enough? Can you not see the things, how many sacrifices and time and energy I put toward? That was like, yes. I mean, everything you're saying is 100% correct. I just know where Aaron's at. Even if he's in the wrong, I know where he's at on that. But what's stand up, all of that is forgivable. All that's to the side because it's miscommunication. They're just on the wrong page. My favorite part is the moment reality hit him. And when Genevieve packs her bags, is walking down the line, and this fool comes up and he's just like, "What's up? What are you doing?" And she's like, "What do you mean?" And he's like, "Yeah, like, what are you, like, the whole thing?"
Rewind, rewind.
What?
Because right before that, there's two quotes to me that step out as the pinnacle of the quotes. And both of them happen.
They're so fucking funny.
The number one, my favorite moment in like a funny way, which was just unbelievable, was that they're fighting, right? They have this moment. She's packing bags. He doesn't know yet. Then he kind of knows and he's walking, sitting by the bar. And Victoria has talked her down off the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And Victoria goes, just talk to him. And he's chilling there. And she walks up to him and he goes, "Hey, can we talk for a minute?" And he goes, yeah. And she goes, "Why did you do that?" And he goes, "Well," this was like the most melodramatic of all time. I mean, what? I can't on my own time have my own time. It's all about your time and you can't have your own. And I was like, bro, like, that was the most dramatic shit I've ever seen in my life. Is him going like, "Wait, so I can't even hesitate? It's all about your time. I can't even have my own time to talk about this." And that's how it was, just like, oh my God, bro. She's trying to reconcile with it. You. It was in.
Verbatim quotes for me when I'm mad at Becca. Becca tries to come up and be sweet, and I go, "Don't talk to me. Don't touch me right now. I don't like
you." I'm disciplining
you. No, I literally say to her, I go, "I don't like you right now." And she goes, she gets like, "What?" And I go, I'm not receptive. I am mad at you and I don't like you right now. And I just walk away. And God. I'm just like, right now, no. I'm not, like, if she were to come up and be like, "Can I talk to you right now?" I'll literally have to be like the partner in me is like, "Yeah, any time of day, like, you can have my time." But from counseling stuff or whatever is just like, I have to cool off.
Oh, okay.
And so if there's a thing of like, "Hey, are you receptive?" It's like, it's not constructive if I just like force it because I'm not in a calm, receptive mindset. Yeah. I'm in hyper defensive,
right,
flip out mode. And that is literally like the nicest way I can say it is just literally like, "I don't like you right now. It's just, don't talk to me right now. I don't want to be around you. I don't like you right now." And I do it like all like little kid when I'm just like, God. No. Frank does this. Gosh. Where you try to deal with Frank and he goes, "No."
Yeah, just
that's
angry.
How I am in that
and
moment.
And so then she runs off. I She's feel leaving. Aaron. He stops her again and they're fighting. And then his sermon about his happiness was insane.
Him watching her with her bags and he's like, "What are you doing?
Yeah. Are you serious?
Are you serious right now?" Dude, that literally, I was like, dude, this fool.
Oh.
I was like,
the other quote I just wanted to mention that killed me.
Are you serious?
Are you serious? The other quote that killed me before the whole bags, before she was leaving, was he goes, "Honestly, like, she makes me feel bad like all the time and I make her feel good all the time."
Yes!
I'm like, that is an incredible.
All the time.
I make her feel good all the time.
She makes me feel bad all the time and all I do is make her feel good all the time. That was the ultimate. I'm on the floor. I can't even recover.
Nothing like a bulletproof mentality.
I was waiting for him to be joking, but he's like, "No,
he's
I'm
just
serious.
Dead fucking serious.
I'm dead serious."
He's like, "I make her feel good all the time, and she makes me feel bad all the time.
All the time, and she makes me feel bad." This is where I'm saying it's the guilt trip.
Oh, it's my guilt God, trip. Dude.
I can't, dude. I'm
and
like,
it was all over her just wanting a little time for 20 minutes to just hang out by the pool.
Oh, sorry, Dolly. Hey, Dolly.
Oh, bro, that killed me. So then
that's my favorite line.
And they do the whole thing and they're fighting. And then he goes on this, like, he like stands
well, no,
up.
I
on
have
this,
a lot of favorite lines, actually.
But he sits on like the side of the hill and he's just like, "You listen to me. My happiness will not be threatened. And what my happiness is giving you a kiss and throwing the ball with the boys. Like, dude.
Yes!
That was incredible.
That was the ultimate bros before. That was like, but dude, it was just... he was literally like, if you're telling me right now that our relationship means no boys, no relationship. Yeah. And he was like, he was literally in the like... If like there has to have been a girl in his life who just made him
never hang out with the boys.
Put the question in front of him. Boys, it's either them or me. Mm-hmm. I had a girl do that to me. Mm. Snap me out. She literally, I was at this boarding school with my best friend, my number one, oldest.
Yeah.
Day one. We were in this like reform boarding school together. And there were like 30 guys and like 6 girls. And so it's, you know, whatever. If you have a girlfriend at that thing, it's like, fuck.
Right.
And I was like puppy dogging, where I was just like, whatever it is, whatever you want type of situation. And at one point, like my buddy, we were like getting more and more distant and we were talking. And then I went to see her and she was like, our relationship was like, fringing or whatever, and she literally said to me, it's either him or me,
right?
And I remember just like that put so much clarity in my brain, where I was like, I paused and I was like, I met you like a couple months ago. He's been my best friend since we were 7 and 8, right? And I was just like, I was 18. I remember just being like, This is literally not even a question.
Right,
and
right.
I just remember like walking away. Well,
obviously too, unless that person's a bad person, like your friend is a bad influence.
She was not bad. She wasn't a bad
influence. No. I'm saying the friend. Yeah, unless friend is like literally a bad influence.
Yeah, like you're doing heroin together.
Right. Or like just really bad. It's like causing a really bad... Yeah. Causing you toxic. To be a bad person.
No.
But that's a good... But like anytime someone does that, obviously it's not a good sign.
But it was that thing where, dude, like I have been like, oh my gosh. Like...
Yeah.
In that situation of like, no, it's very important for me to be able to spend time with my guy friends, right? And have that thing.
Especially 18,
that's
dude,
where I wonder, dude, Aaron's reaction was like
so funny, especially when you're like late 20s.
Dude, like my happiness is you just chilling out and we drink beers together and chill. And when I want to fucking throw the football around with my boys, I can. And I know that my girl's there. Just hanging out.
Waiting for me
to come back and like be in a good mood.
How funny was it too? When, remember how he was talking to Johnny? And he goes, dude, all I do is make her happy and she just makes me sad all the time. Anyway, dude, did you see the swell over there? like, listen, if you want to date Aaron, it doesn't matter how old he is. He will always be the guy that spends way too much time with his friends. And when the girlfriend goes, you need a little time with me. He goes, dude, all I do is hang out with you.
Me and all my friends.
Like, there's no question he has a distorted view. Like, I love Aaron, but you know he has a distorted view of how much time he actually spends with his friends.
Me and all my friends.
He has so much time.
This is why I want to spend time with Aaron and James.
God, it killed me. Like, you know that he even says, like, me and James are a package deal. Like, to Genevieve. He's like, just so you know, he will be living with us. Like, that's not even a question.
Want to spend time with them. I want to go down to San Diego and surf with them.
Seriously. Anyway, that
take them to fucking school.
That killed me. And then they got back. The way they got back together too was like how me and Jess used to fight when we were 22. Of like drag out, and then the other person just goes, "Well, I just love you," and "Oh, I love you." And then 2 seconds later, we're laughing and we're all good, and it's like chaos. It made me laugh.
Yeah, but
so
what I love
hard.
Is literally fuck everyone else's opinion.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I loved watching. Victoria and Eliza get trapped and they're like, fuck, they're like, can't we go anywhere. Or? And then they're like, yeah, but, and I love that they defended him in that way of like, you don't say this kind of stuff and behave that way when you don't deeply care about somebody. Right. And then when they dropped that they were loving, dude, the look on his face, the train that hit him where he was like, oh,
she said, I'm falling in love with you. And
she's like all crying and he's like, oh fuck. And he just like, this is where I was like, yeah, all forgiven. All the stuff.
And he's like, I love you too. And then it was all good. It just made me laugh so hard.
Dude, I was all about it. Beck and I were dying.
Like, I'm sure people will, a lot of people will say, like, that was toxic and unhealthy and all this stuff. And there obviously was very toxic, like, things that happened. 100%. It was, like, not a healthy argument at all. But it is funny when you think about, like, they must really care
for
each other.
I'm going to take that. You know, I'm going to say,
you know, also,
is,
real
these
quick.
Are my, these, I have led this entire time by saying these are my verbatim arguments with that guy. And now you're saying that it's toxic.
I also said I had those exact arguments
as well.
Are we
about
to
have an argument? I don't appreciate you saying that my relationship is toxic.
I didn't say your relationship is toxic. I said we both had many of those.
Oh my gosh, I was about to slam my haunted doll on
the
ground.
So you won't admit that, like, those are a lot, there's a lot of toxic parts of that argument.
How did it resolve?
It's not about how it resolved. How it's did like, it resolve? There was a lot of toxic parts. And I'm the same way. I've had those arguments with Jess a million times when we were younger. But dude,
don't listen to Evan, Dolly.
I'm not saying you're toxic at all. I'm more saying, like, we all can admit that, like, that was a crazy journey. But here's what I will say. But you guys probably also aren't nearly as emotional as they are.
Evan's calling.
You're definitely not doing that.
Evan's saying that my relationship with Becca is toxic.
Oh my God, I'm so not.
I want you to haunt stay him. At Evan's house tonight.
I want you to cut the power lines.
I want you to ruin his life. I want you to ruin his life.
I love that because
hack his computer and delete his calendar so that he misses all his important meetings and that all the night shows that he does all their music production for it all fucks up.
Don't put that energy out there. God damn.
My petty ass.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding, baby.
No,
Evan's
but
my friend.
But no,
I
no.
like having a haunted doll. I like having a haunted spirit that I could sick on people. My petty ass. I'm so petty in that way. Oh, you want to say whatever you want to me? You want to judge me? That's fine.
I'll no send judgment.
My ghost after you.
More what I'm getting at is I'm the exact same way. And because of that, because we've both been there. It is like real when you have that strong feelings, like people fight like that when they got that type of. So either way, there's a lot of toxicity in that argument that went down. But from being there ourselves, we do know that there is some serious like connection.
They have a chance to make it.
From tweets I've seen, I don't know if that happens. We'll see. But well, that was a fun app. I mean, I think we'll see what happens with Justin.
It was nice for me to see some normal people. Just some normal, like, this is, that felt very real to me.
Right. I loved how hectic it was. It was amazing.
I loved my happiness. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I make you happy all the time and you make me unhappy all the time. Anyway, I love you. Never mind.
And then, all you do is make me feel bad. Yeah. And all I do is make her feel good.
Making me feel like I'm doing something wrong. I mean, the quotes were endless. They were amazing. And then I love 3 minutes after the most intense fight of the season, he's picking her up and she's straddling him and they're kissing. It's just beautiful.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. We love you guys. Great episodes. Dude, this season is unprecedented in just action.
It's true.
It really is unprecedented.
Didn't even get to the twins' whole situation.
I mean, I didn't feel like it was like
positive
epic.
Attitudes all around.
Positive
good
attitudes.
Job.
I thought
good
it was
job
fun.
On them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they just came in the two ladies who aren't with. They
pulling
know they definitely
cougars,
shocked
dude.
Us. They shocked us with the love. You know, Kate. You know, didn't the whole yeah? It's like it didn't work out for Justin. All right, so it didn't work out for Roddy that she's like went with Justin. It did work out for Logan that she went with him. I guess it was like Hayden was, she was like, ugh. It was like, okay, Logan got lucky there. So he better step it up. Because if this happens again with someone she might connect with, like danger. Alex might swoop in. You never know.
I loved that they were like, I'm Italian. And then he's like, oh, like I'm from Italy. And then he's like, well, I've never been.
I've never even been to Europe.
That was the funniest thing is like, bro, you are not from Italy.
You're Italian. You're not from Italy.
Yeah. Like it's not being like growing up in like little Italy is
growing
not the
up
same
in Staten
thing.
Island is yeah. not the same thing as going to Italy. All right. We love you guys. Have an amazing weekend. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right now.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.